I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Episode 41 of the Shock Jock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network. Sean St. Jacques back here with you for another week of Knicks and NBA talk. Hope you're doing well out there over the last week or so as we all stay, hopefully you're all out there practicing social distancing and are self-quarantining as we try to fight COVID-19 and try to get back to normal lives as quickly as possible. A lot of interesting topics to get to that we probably wouldn't be getting to if sports were still a thing, like it would be in our normal lives, but we'll talk to them nonetheless. Some Knicks and NBA rumors to get to on the show, and later on we'll get to the stuff that some of you guys have been talking about on Twitter with the 2K tournament that ESPN has been trying to push, and we'll try and pick a winner for this horse tournament, which was poorly worded in all of ESPN's copy on ESPN radio during the day, and I will explain how that happened, or at least what that's about in just a second. First and foremost, if you're looking for something to do, this is just purely suggestions. We're not sponsored by anybody around here. But if you're looking for shows to watch, video games, games in general, I've been told to share a few ideas with you guys. First and foremost, stuff to binge watch and things like that. Most of it, in my opinion, of the good stuff that I've watched so far, are either going to be movies or TV shows on Netflix are usually the two places to go at this period in time. For me, if you want my opinion, apparently some of you do. I've had a couple people reach out, so I'll throw a few your way. Peaky Blinders on Netflix, about British gangs in the 1920s. It's a drama series, originally made by the BBC over in England. It's very good. There's 5 seasons, so it'll give you plenty of time to learn about Tommy Shelby, who's played by Cillian Murphy, an Irish actor. It's very well done. And another one of the actors, Helen McCrory, I believe is her name, also has done other famous works, including being a small part in the Harry Potter movies as well. So it's been a lot of interesting stuff coming from that series that I've enjoyed watching. Another show on Netflix for sports people, especially soccer fans, Sunderland Till I Die has 2 seasons out now. If you're a big fan of soccer like I am, it gives you a very, very interesting look behind the scenes of a club in England that's trying to get back to its former glory after being relegated 2 years in a row from the Premier League down all the way to the third division of English football or soccer, which is League One. So it's very good. There's, I think, 10 episodes of that. Actually, I think there's more. I think there's 14 episodes of that. 2 seasons, 14 episodes, 8 and 6. It's very well done. Another good series to check out for you guys that are interested for video games. I think for this group of people that I'm talking to, you basketball fans or sports fans in general out there, I think 2K is the first on the list. I've played a lot of 2K myself lately. 2K20, it's pretty good. As someone who played 2K a lot and then stopped playing 2K, the new 2K, the biggest improvements are obviously the graphics. I always think the 2K soundtrack is extremely well done. Almost every year, I can't think of the last time I was disappointed with a 2K game in-game soundtrack. And the gameplay itself is pretty good. So I'd suggest playing some 2K with your friends, maybe some FIFA. I've been playing quite a bit of FIFA as well, but also Fortnite is something I recently got into and quite enjoying it for someone that's probably too old to be playing Fortnite. So I'm excited about those games. And then also for those that enjoy playing games with friends, Jackbox.tv, and this is the last thing I'll mention, a ton of fun, like quirky kind of games that you think you'd be playing when you were like in middle school or high school maybe. But once you get, if you get enough people, like you probably need, for most of these games, you need like 3 to 7 people to play. A lot of fun. Jackbox TV. I think there's like a set of games you can get for like $20. You can like have a few friends chip in. And my friends and I have been going on Skype. And we play these games for hours. And it's a ton of fun. Gives you some time to kind of get away, hang out with your friends, and play some fun games. So Jackbox.tv is the place to go. You can buy like a pack of games online from there. I'm also told Steam, for those real hardcore gamers out there, and you want to pay a little extra, Steam is very good for new games and things like that. You have to download the system on your computer, and then you have an access to a ton of libraries filled with really good games. So that's another, my 3 cents during this first 5 minutes about what you guys can be doing during this self-isolation period during the COVID-19 pandemic. All right, enough fun and games. Let's get down to business. No, I'm kidding. But let's get down to some of the stuff that's been going on around the Knicks and around the NBA. More draft talk to kind of kick things off. More different mock drafts have come up. CBS, you know, this is the thing. Like, some of these mock drafts that come out, it's a little like, I don't want to say off-putting, but the assumptions that are made in these are pretty, like, drastic, I'd say. They're extremely, I can't imagine, like, what they would know, right? To say that in one article, the Knicks trade up to get LaMelo Ball, right? Like, I don't know what would dictate you to say that. Like, I don't understand where that's coming from. It's got to be clickbait. A lot of that stuff I don't buy into. CBS says in their lottery projections, the Knicks fell to 6 in the lottery. So that they sim the lottery, I guess. The Knicks were 6, and then they trade up 5 spots to get LaMelo Ball. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up to me. And for those out there that think that LaMelo Ball is worth trading that much to go 5 spots up to get him, I think you're nuts. I really do. I really think you're nuts to think that. I don't think there's any track record, even though he played well in Australia, now he owns the team he played for, which is just crazy. There's nothing to me that says that he's worth trading up 5 spots to get him. I get the potentially 6'6". He's a good shooter. Good all-around score, put up great numbers in Australia, but again, it's Australia. I don't know. That family is another thing. And in New York, you know, LaVar Ball is going to be difficult to deal with. That's still something that is a factor here. There's no question about that. And listen, I get that he's high up on a lot of draft boards. And I'm not saying, you know, the Knicks shouldn't consider him if the Knicks had the 3rd pick or the 4th pick or whatever. But what I am saying is, I wouldn't trade up 5 spots to get him. So what the heck is CBS Sports putting out with it? 5 spots! 5 spots, and then calling it a power move? It's a dumb move. It's a tone-deaf move, is what it is. I think that would be absolutely nonsense. And again, only the trading up part. LaMelo Ball is a solid top 5 pick, and could be number 1, I guess, according to some. I'm not so sure about that. I think Anthony Edwards is likely the number 1 overall pick. Kid out of Georgia who's had a phenomenal college season. I would lean towards him just ahead of LaMelo Ball. And then I would have a couple of others ahead of LaMelo Ball at the moment. But I think for the Knicks, I don't think LaMelo Ball is near number 1 on the draft chart. I think he's 3rd. I really do. I think you'd put Anthony Edwards up there first, and then you got to look. And to be honest, I look at James Wiseman, but positionally, and again, remember, you know, LaMelo Ball is likely a shooting guard in the NBA. He's not a point guard. So I would put Cole Anthony ahead of LaMelo Ball specifically on the Knicks draft chart. You need a point guard. Now, LaMelo Ball is listed as a point guard, and at some he's listed as a combo guard. I would rather take Cole Anthony over LaMelo Ball. I really would. I think Cole Anthony is a shoe-in to be what the Knicks are looking for. I really do. A lot of people have Cole Anthony as a top five pick. I think he's the guy that if the Knicks... I'll say this. It's more realistic that the Knicks get him and it works out than they go out of their minds to get LaMelo Ball and it works out. You give up too much and then put too much on LaMelo Ball too early, in my opinion. I get he's played professional basketball in Australia. I get it. But I would put Cole Anthony just ahead of LaMelo Ball. Now, to be fair, if LaMelo Ball's there and the Knicks are at five and Cole Anthony is there, you still have to consider him. You still have to seriously consider him as the pick. But there's a lot of pros and cons. I certainly wouldn't trade up five spots to get him. I mean, just ridiculous. I think that is a ridiculous projection. I had two people send that to me today, and I was just scratching my head thinking, oh my gosh, where are these people getting this from? Five spots. Again, think about what the Knicks would have to give up to trade five, to get up five spots. They'd basically have to trade everything they just traded to get him, just to get LaMelo Ball. It's a huge risk. I don't think he's a player worth risking for when you could sit back and then you likely get Cole Anthony and it could work out really well for you. So it's, I think it's getting overcomplicated and people are running out of things to throw out there for clickbait. And all of a sudden that became a discussion amongst people that I talk with about the Knicks. So it's just, you know, that kind of stuff is just ridiculous. The Dennis Smith Jr. stuff that's been popping up lately as well has been a little bit interesting. It's kind of been coming. You know, I remember when I first heard that the Knicks were getting Dennis Smith Jr. And for those that listen to the show and for those that listen to my other podcast, my College Hoops podcast, you guys know that I was not a big Dennis Smith Jr. fan coming out of college. He went to NC State for a year. In the end, ended up getting caught up in all of that FBI wiretap stuff, or at least the paying of money to athletes to go to big-time colleges. He played under Mark Gottfried for a year at NC State. They were supposed to have a very good year. They had some moments. They won at Duke, and they went on a nice winning streak, but then they flopped at the end of the season. I remember watching him at the ACC tournament live, and NC State lost to Clemson in the first round, and he looked like he gave up. He looked like he gave up on the team and didn't really care, knew that he was going to the NBA. And many had kind of accused him of that as the season went on. As we've seen him in the NBA with the Mavericks and in his early time with the Knicks, you could see how good of a player he can be, how athletic he is, the signs that he shows in the NBA. However, the Mavs trade him. The Knicks have just had a lost season with him after he showed some signs at the end of last season. But again, I give Dennis Smith a pass for this year because of everything that went on in his life, losing a family member, just being in and out of it mentally. I mean, it's all things we can all understand or should understand as people. And it hurt his performance. I mean, there's no questions about that. We never really saw him get off the ground on a roster where he should have probably been the starting point guard. I mean, when you think about the depth at guard or lack thereof on this roster, and then, again, the talent of each of the guys, right? I mean, Elfrid Payton's been around the league for a few years now. He ends up being the one that kind of shined above the other two, Ntilikina and Smith. But the bar was so low when Smith started the season, and then Ntilikina didn't really lift things on the offensive end. He showed some good signs defensively for stretches of the season, but we never really saw that consistent development on the offensive end. And then Elfrid Payton, who was kind of the third string coming in, ends up being the guy towards the end of this, at the moment, shortened NBA season. I mean, that just tells you that, again, just a tough year for Dennis Smith Jr. Now, Mark Berman of the New York Post is saying that some around the league think that Smith is going to benefit from a, quote, change of scenery, unquote, Berman mentions that the Timberwolves have shown interest and the Magic might be making a move for him as well. Those are two teams that'd be interesting to kind of deal with if you're the Knicks. There's some prospects, or thinking different sports here, but there's some guys on both of those teams and some picks on both of those teams that might interest the Knicks whenever this season gets back on track and we start prioritizing those things. The reason I brought this up is because, again, there was a lot of people during the season that thought, all right, the Knicks can't move Smith this season. It's just not going to happen. You know, there's going to be nobody to kind of play ball with the Knicks, right? And, you know, people have blamed the toxic environment, the injuries. I mentioned, again, the death in his family, his stepmother passing away. And a lot of people kind of looked at the other thing that was interesting with Smith Jr. was the fact that he kind of clicked with David Fizdale early on. And then when he had the injuries, the death of his stepmother, Fizdale gets fired. It was just a perfect storm of tough things for Smith to deal with. And after he had such high hopes coming out of college and then his early time with the Mavericks and the few moments he's had when he's been good for the Knicks, it's just been the negatives that have outweighed the positives. So again, I don't blame people around the league thinking he might need a change of scenery. New York is tough, especially when you're dealing with all that, to thrive. So it'll be interesting to see, but what can the Knicks get for him? If you're talking business side of things, that's what the Knicks have to be thinking about. Because again, with Leon Rose in charge, I wouldn't be surprised if Dennis Smith Jr. now gets moved on. And again, didn't play a lot under Mike Miller. So this is kind of a good opportunity, if it works out when the time comes, to maybe send Dennis Smith away and get some picks and maybe even a player back for him. Again, the Magic and the Timberwolves wouldn't be bad trade partners as far as picks and as far as maybe even a player or two coming back on the other side. So it'll be interesting to see what the Knicks do with that. Very, very interesting stuff there. And then a quick note before we dive into the funner stuff on the other side of the break. The KP stuff, and this is kind of, you know, keeps popping up every once in a while, but apparently, according to this is Mark Berman from the New York Post, the whole situation with Steve Mills getting fired, apparently the KP Dennis Smith Jr. trade, according to Mark Berman of the New York Post, was basically the straw that broke the camel's back as far as Steve Mills' job on the hot seat. The NBA, you know, basically the rest of the league at the time, raised eyebrows over the move. And again, for those that forget, you know, Kristaps Porzingis was hurt when he got traded. So it was kind of like, you know, the big choice was, do you wait, right? Do you wait for KP to get healthy and then give it one last try? Or do you trade him now and cut your losses? The Knicks traded him. And I think to this day, many people, including myself, I have my doubts over it, obviously, because KP could get hurt again. And then, you know, it doesn't look too bad that the Knicks got rid of him. But, you know, the way he's been playing, it's tough to argue that the Knicks made the wrong move there. And Steve Mills, in the end, took a little while longer than the article seems to forget about. But that ended up being the straw that broke the camel's back. And then on top of that, the Knicks spending $60 million in free agency didn't get Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving. And in the end, Steve Mills didn't really, not only stunk as team president, but didn't live up to any of the expectations that were set for him when he came in. And when you flop 4 or 5 times in a few years with a lot of these big aspirations, and you're in New York, you're not going to last too long. And that's exactly what happened with Steve Mills. The interesting thing about the KP trade was, I remember at the time, I was actually near the Garden working at the time when all of this went down, when KP got traded. And a lot of people at the time were for the trade. A lot of people did not want KP back. And a lot of people blamed it on, you know, not being disruptive in the locker room and his brother being his agent and him only being out for himself and things like that, you know, that I think you can kind of argue got overblown at the time. And it ended up being one of those things that led to Steve Mills getting fired, because in the league, it's more about the results than how everybody acts to each other. As we've seen throughout the years, some of the most successful teams in the NBA are some of the most hostile locker rooms at times. You know, but again, it's still about the main goal, right? That's the biggest thing. It could be about yourself, but you're still going towards what the main goal is. That's to win. So it's tough to balance that. But clearly, Steve Mills and the rest of the front office have not been able to do that so far, or rather at the time, I should say. And throughout these last 10, 15, 20 years, this Knicks franchise has not been able to do that. And it's interesting. Yeah, it's always interesting that this stuff comes out now because there's nothing to talk about. But it's interesting to reminisce about some of this stuff. It's heartbreaking if you're a Knicks fan like myself. But it just, you know, some of those preconceived notions or some of those thoughts you had at the time end up kind of coming true in the end. And some of the stuff that was talked about at the time, some of it was a little bit more realistic than you thought. And then some of the other stuff that was talked about at the time probably didn't make as much, probably makes even less sense now than it did at the time, if that makes sense. Some of it adds up and some of it just doesn't. So it's interesting to see how that stuff develops. All right, let me take a quick break here. When we come back, we get to some of the more fun stuff and how the NBA is trying to keep you entertained while you're sitting at home. All that and more coming up next on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I mentioned at the top of the show different things that you can be doing right now to pass the time. You know, obviously, some of you are still working. Some of you at the moment are, you know, staying home, taking care of the kids, or you're staying home working, or you're staying home and you're just trying to find something to do, or D, all of the above. So the NBA is trying to help you out, and they've got a couple of different things that you should be tuning into over the next couple of days. It's going to be very interesting. Some of this stuff still has been going on, which is a little bit surprising that I haven't heard about some of this stuff up until the last like 48 hours. I was debating. Let's do the 2K. Let's do the 2K sports video game challenge first. There's a big 2K, ESPN's hosting this like 2K, NBA 2K players tournament. It's what you expect. It's a bracket. The players play against each other. The winner moves on, loser's out. And basically, I don't know what the winner gets, but I'll have to take a look back at that. But for now, it's basically bragging rights. Kevin Durant's in it, Trae Young's in it, Zach LaVine's in it, Donovan Mitchell is in it. Hassan Whiteside, Andre Drummond, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, DeMontis Sabonis, Otto Porter Jr., Derek Jones Jr., Montrezl Harrell, Rui Hachimura, I see Boogie Cousins is in there, Harrison Barnes, Patrick Beverley, and it started on April 3rd, and I was like, what? This already started? So it's been kind of all over the place. There have been a couple of upsets. There have been a couple of people have had their mouths shut because they've been doing so much trash talking. It's been sick. And basically they got shut up and that, you know, they're basically, they're done. So the NBA Players Association, the NBA basically worked with 2K to choose 16 players. And from there, the players were seeded based on their overall ratings in the game. And tiebreakers were settled by NBA tenure. So if you were in the league longer than the person you're tied with, you get the higher seed than they do. So Kevin Durant, who's in the tournament, is the one seed. Trae Young is the two seed. That was surprising. He's got the second highest rating of the players in this tournament. Then I realized, oh, that's right. There's not many other good players in this tournament. So I think Donovan Mitchell and Hassan Whiteside were at 87. If you ask me, Hassan Whiteside is lower than that. And then you had Patrick Beverley, Harrison Barnes, and Derek Jones Jr., who were all 78 rated players. And I believe in that order is their NBA tenure. Whoever's, you know, I think it's all, you know, longest to shortest time in the NBA. So actually the winner gets a charity donation to the favorite charity of their choice for $100,000, which is pretty great. And it's from 2K, the NBA, the NBA Players Association, and it's going towards coronavirus relief efforts. And the bragging rights part, they'll also be crowned Ultimate NBA 2K20 champion. Okay, great. Enjoy that. They basically try to convince you to watch this. If you've been watching this and you feel like shouting it out and letting me know what you think, are you enjoying this? Is this any good? I haven't watched a single second of it. I've been diving into Netflix and video games and friends and stuff like that, trying to stay busy and then work as well. So I am very intrigued to see what this is about. Again, I'm probably not going to watch this. I'd rather play 2K than watch somebody else play it, even if it's Donovan Mitchell or Kevin Durant, to be honest with you. This doesn't really, it, for those out there that love watching video games, this is probably right up your alley. For me, this is 6 days in, apparently. I haven't watched a second of it. Don't plan on watching a second of it. So, but it's interesting, you know, this is what we've come to. You know, these are the kind of alleys that we are going down to try to keep the sports fan base entertained. Meanwhile, listening to stories of Dana White with the UFC buying islands off the coast of California to try to schedule UFC bouts has been probably more entertaining than the stuff that's been going on with the NBA, I must say. But this is just wild. It's really insane that we've come to this. This idea, to me, again, doesn't make a ton of sense, but I can see why some people would like it. So you go with it. So I'm trying to find the bracket to kind of see where everybody's at the moment. If I had to guess, I don't know if everyone's played yet, but I give a slight edge to Donovan Mitchell. Just I think he's got a lot to prove. More than everybody else in this tournament. Although again, I don't know. Some people might take it seriously, others might not. So don't really know. Let me see if I can find, there's a live stream for it for those that are interested in taking a look. All right, so I've got the matchups here. It was Kevin Durant against Derek Jones Jr. And Kevin Durant lost. So Derek Jones Jr. moved on. DeAndre Ayton beat Zach LaVine. Trae Young beat Harrison Barnes by, 40 points almost. Actually, by more than that. By 40, how much? Holy smokes. Beat him by 42. Holy smokes. Patrick Beverley beat Hassan Whiteside by 30. Apparently, Hassan Whiteside was trash-talking Pat Beverley, and Pat Beverley said, "I'll beat you by 20, and he beat him by 30. So Rui Hachimura knocked out Donovan Mitchell by 3 points. Devin Booker beat Michael Porter Jr. Drummond beat Cousins by a ton. Holy smokes, 101 to 49. Montrezl Harrell beat Domantas Sabonis 73 to 51. So a lot of the big trash talkers are out. And the quarterfinals have not been played yet. So you can catch the quarterfinals, I think, on ESPN. And then the semifinals. So this podcast goes out on a Friday morning. I think the quarterfinals are already going to be played. So you can catch the semis. These are the quarterfinal matchups. It's Trae Young versus DeAndre Ayton, Pat Beverly versus Andre Drummond, Derek Jones Jr. versus Montrezl Harrell, and Rui Hachimura from your Gonzaga Bulldogs going up against Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. Not a bad, it's a pretty, you know, nameless quarterfinal. Not a ton of big names in there. But if you like watching video games, this is for you. And I'll tell you what, I won't be watching, but I do want to hear what you guys think about this. I'm curious if you're enjoying this or not. Let me know, and let me know why. I'm curious to see what your guys' thoughts are on this. Again, for me, this is not really my cup of tea. I'm not really interested in this. I would rather watch old NBA games. I'd rather play 2K against one of my friends and trash talk them. I'd rather interact with people a little bit more, or watch stuff that I want to watch, or Netflix, or old games, or whatever, or movies, than watch Montrezl Harrell face Devin Booker in the quarterfinals of the 2K20 Classic, or whatever this thing is called. So, one thing I will say, this is for a great cause. Obviously, $100,000 going to coronavirus relief efforts. That's the big positive. However, as far as the entertainment side of this, I think the NBA could do better, and they're trying to do better. That's the good news, right? So there's some people, this has kind of been hit or miss. Like for ESPN, some people have liked it, some people haven't. And for those that are desperate for new sports content, this might be something you give a try with, because you just want anything competitive to be brought back into sports. But the real one that I'm excited for, that I might actually tune in for, is the NBA's horse tournament. Now, this caught my eye a lot more than the video game stuff did. This is coming on Sunday. It's a horse tournament. This was terribly promoted on certain radio shows on ESPN, saying that this was a horse shooting contest. Terribly worded, because they're not putting horses behind the barn and ending their misery. They're shooting basketballs on their home courts or at at their gyms in their, you know, mansions. So let's clarify that for those that have been seeing that. It's just a horse tournament. It's your normal HORSE. Winner wins and advances. Loser goes home and pouts. So it's a pretty loaded field, I would say. There's a good amount of brand names in this field. I don't love that it's not all NBA players, I will say that. But Chris Paul is in it. By the way, there's 8 contestants. Chris Paul leads the field. Trae Young's in this as well. So Trae Young is going for both crowns. He wants the 2K challenge and he wants the horse crown as well. I'd say Trae Young is probably the favorite for both at this point, I must say. 2020 Hall of Fame inductee Tamika Catchings is in there. She's not the one I'm bothered about. Zach LaVine's in there. Probably could have found someone better for that. I don't think Zach LaVine's a great horse guy. He's a dunking champion, but horse, probably not his game. WNBA All-Star Allie Quigley, solid to see her in there, and great to see Mike Connolly Jr. from the Utah Jazz. What the heck are Chauncey Billups and Paul Pierce doing in this thing? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You couldn't have gotten 2 more NBA players? Why's it got to be Billups and Pierce? I know it's on ESPN, but come on. I think you couldn't have made any 2 worse choices there. I really don't. I'd rather get 2 more WNBA players in there, or get a couple college players in there. Why has it got to be Billups and Pierce? These guys are retired. I'm not saying they don't have any shots on them, but Trae Young, let me see who's playing who, if they even have that set up yet here. But if any of the NBA players get one of those, it's a wrap. There's no way. I mean, you can't do that. You know? Well, here in the match, oh no. Guys. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Oh. This is not good, guys. Oh no. Trey Young's first round matchup is Chauncey Billups. I mean, might as well just put a big bye next to Chauncey. This is a bye game for Trey Young. I mean, are you kidding me? Oh my god. Unless Trey Young basically just says, "All right, Chauncey, I'll let you have this one. I'm going for the 2K title." And this is a wrap. Winner of that matchup gets Tamika Catchings or Mike Conley. That's a better matchup, I would say. Zach LaVine against Paul Pierce. That one actually might be a battle just because Zach LaVine is, you know, not a great shooter. He's a good shooter, not a great shooter. So I could see Paul Pierce maybe hanging around in that one, but I still got Zach LaVine. Are you kidding me? And then it's Chris Paul against Ali Quigley. And the winner of that one gets the winner of LaVine versus Pierce. Coin toss at the start of the game determines who shoots first. More senior player calling heads or tails. Oh my god. Player must describe each shot attempt and specifying the type of score they intend to make before taking a shot, such as a bank shot or a swish. Dunking is prohibited. So those WNBA players get a chance, I guess, which is probably the right thing to do to make it more interesting. The first player in each game, and for the old guys, to be fair, Paul Pierce and Chauncey Billups probably can't get up as like they used to be fair, as well. First player in each game to accumulate the letters, H-O-R-S-E, you guessed it, they are out. The dunking probably hurts Zach LaVine the most, because he would kill everybody in this, because nobody else on this list can really dunk anywhere near like Zach LaVine can. Everyone else on this list is either a current good shooter or a bad good, or former good shooter, I should say. And then there's Zach LaVine. So if you're asking me to pick a guy, and I've had a couple people ask who I think is going to win this, I think if you don't pick Trae Young, you're nuts, because I think Trae Young will care about this. He'll feel that this is an opportunity to win not only this, but the 2K video game challenge as well, and sweep the awards. This is pretty... This is pretty good. I've gone back and forth on it, but again, because there's nothing else on, and this is on a Sunday, there's a good chance I'll watch this. It's 7 p.m., I think, on ESPN. And I think then, was it 9 o'clock? Sunday at 7, semifinals and the final will be televised Thursday at 9. So I guess this will all be pre-recorded and then cut up and then put on in post. That's the biggest discouraging thing for me, is that this will not be live. I'm very disappointed about that. I would have been very excited if they had done this live. But I can see why they're going to tape this, because, you know, it's going to be so much different video feeds from everyone's different courts. It's going to be tough to kind of get live and make it good live. But if you do it taped, you can cut around some of the stuff that would be a problem if it was live, and you make it look like a good product, which is what the NBA wants during this time. I'm probably going to watch this if I've got time on Sunday. Sunday night, if I'm not doing anything fun, I'll watch this. So, again, let me know what you guys think of these ideas, what the NBA is doing to try and get you guys interested during this crazy time in the world at the moment. Again, I think Trae Young wins this walking away. I think he could win this with... Honestly, I think Trae Young could win this blindfolded. I really do. I think anybody he faces in this, he's a huge favorite, because he's basically a young Steph Curry. He can hit from anywhere. Nobody else can that's in this competition, which is, again, why I'm disappointed. Why, you know, we don't get any big bona fide stars here. We don't get any LeBron James looks here. We don't get Kevin Durant. We don't get, although he's probably still hurt, we don't get Steph Curry. And we don't get Klay Thompson, who's probably healthy, by the way, almost healthy at this point. Although, to be fair, you still wouldn't want to test him with this kind of a thing. We don't get any real great three-point shooters besides Trae Young, and then you probably throw in Chris Paul in there as well. Those are probably by far the best two shooters in this field. And I like that you mix in some WNBA players, some Hall of Famers, and then, you know, I can live with it being Paul Pierce and Chauncey Billups, but see, I would rather see Chauncey Billups and Paul Pierce face each other in the first round. That would have been a lot more interesting. And then the winner moves on to the semis and then gets clobbered. I'd rather see that than basically put them in a couple of bye games against two NBA players where, you know, Chauncey Billups doesn't have a chance in hell of getting past Trae Young. And I think Paul Pierce is an underdog, but if Zach LaVine comes ready to play, I think he'll easily win. So I get it. It's tough to put this kind of stuff together, especially now, but I would much rather, like, I almost feel like if you waited a week or two on this, maybe even a little bit, maybe like a month, another month. I know it's a long time. It feels like a long time right now because there's nothing to do, but I feel like this could have been 10 times better. As good as this could be, even with the current field, and I'm poking holes in it, but I feel like in a month, like, you could have gotten like a jacked field with a ton of really good shooters, and this could have been like off the charts good. Like, this could have been a much more loaded field, a much more challenging competition, where it's like, all right, if Trae Young and Chris Paul don't get there to the finals, it's kind of like, all right, I'm not going to really watch this. And that's kind of what I'm at. Like, if Trae Young is out, I'm probably going to stop watching this. You know what I mean? Like, if Chris Paul loses to Ali Quigley, no disrespect to Ali Quigley, but I'm probably going to stop tuning in. Like, that, the rest of it doesn't really matter. Like, unless I see Trae Young face Chris Paul in a final on Sunday, I'm not going to watch. So I wish that there was more depth in the field, because then, like, it could be like, no matter who goes through, you're going to want to watch the whole thing. So that's my biggest knock on it, is I don't love the fact that it's not a deep field, but it's something. Maybe I'm a little not naive, but maybe I'm a little spoiled. You know, I'm kind of asking for more when we're already getting something that we probably wouldn't have gotten in any other circumstances. Maybe I'm asking for too much. Maybe that's true, but that's just my thoughts. That was my instant reaction. Again, I'm going to watch. There's a good chance I'm going to watch this. I'm trying to think. Like, I think that this could work. However, much like the dunk contest, right? It's difficult with the dunk contest because as good as it can be without the names, it's always better with big names in there, or big names that you know can dunk. Horse is tougher because it's all shooting and dunks are prohibited here. So, like, that's the big, like, all right, they better be taking, like, ridiculous shots every round, like, in upping the ante, or this isn't fun. Like, and again, that's why Trae Young, it's fun that he's in this, and it's nice that Chris Paul's in this, but there's a big drop-off in, I want to watch this, like, in eyes, in my opinion, with the rest of the field. So, but it's something to watch on Sunday. The NBA gives you a little morsel to chew on before they try and come up with something else. And for the time being, I think that is just about enough. That's just about enough for me as well. I'm done with the show for this week. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. I can't thank you guys enough, the hundreds and thousands of you that listen week in and week out to the Shock Shock Knicks podcast and the Posting and Toasting podcast network in general. You guys are awesome. Thank you again for tuning into this week's show. Stay safe out there. Stay self-isolated if you can. Make sure to wash your hands. Listen to the CDC's constantly updated guidelines. And again, stay safe. Spend time with your family. And again, if you came to the podcast a little bit later, you skipped ahead. I did leave you some stuff at the beginning, some ideas that can help you pass the time during this difficult time in our country's history and in the history of the world as a whole. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you guys next time, next week, on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network.